want us to discover if maybe sometimes we take Jesus for granted. Okay? Everybody understand what taking somebody for granted is? Yeah. And, you know, as we look at Easter, occurred over 2,000 years ago, and it was like many mornings that we've experienced. You know, everything was running along smooth except for what had just happened. And then suddenly there was an uproar that began to go through the countryside when people began to see or to unveil what God had really done. And this Jesus, of course, was beaten. He was crucified. And then he was buried in a grave, but all of a sudden they discover he's missing. And I can just imagine the turmoil that would go on, you know. Especially nowadays, you know, we bury them deep and want to, you know, don't have many that just get out of the grave. But back then, there was this, even a stone rolled over the grave, the door of the grave, so that nobody could get in and nobody could get out. But finally, revelation began to creep into the hearts of people around the countryside that this Jesus had accomplished exactly what he said he was going to do. He was going to be raised from the dead, and that resurrection was going to be a victory over death and the grave. And then Jesus himself was fulfilling all of the prophecies of the prophets and even the promises of God. Jesus rose from the dead. And he lives, even today, he lives. And he lives in our hearts. Amen? Now, Jesus paid for the sins of mankind. And I think oftentimes that's one of the things that we take for granted. But yet he cheated death and he rendered the grave powerless. And to me, that's what's glorious about what he did, you know. I mean, the day is going to come when those who are dead in Christ are going to break out of these graves that we put them in. And he lives and he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, opening the door for salvation to come to those who choose to believe. So, do we have any believers here this morning? Amen. I hope so. I hope every one of you are a true believer. Now, knowing Jesus and believing in Jesus are two different things. And I preached on this several times through the years. Knowing him is one thing, but believing in Jesus is something totally different. Now, we celebrate Easter once a year, but the rest of the year, many of us are distracted or oblivious to the price that Jesus paid for our freedom from sin. You see, he didn't free us from sin so that we can keep on sinning. He freed us so that the work of sin that was in us would be destroyed. And yet we allow sin sometimes and too many times to come in and rule our lives. So I want us to look at a story this morning. And we're going to see that there are many people in churches today all over the world who know about this Jesus, but they are not quite the believers that they should be. Peter, the story is going to be about Peter, and Peter receives a revelation of God's love through this story, and it literally changed his life. And that's how our lives should be impacted every time that we have this same revelation. And it can come to you more than one time. But when it comes every time, it ought to bring you to a place of repentance and renewal in your life with Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 38. This is a story that is not in all of the Gospels. Luke was the only one that recorded it. And it talks about Jesus coming to Simon Peter's house before Peter was called to be a disciple. So here we have Jesus coming to Peter's house, and beginning in verse 38. Now, he arose from the synagogue, talking about Jesus, and entered Simon's house. This is Simon Peter. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of Jesus concerning him, or her. And so he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. And when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. You know, think about that. Isn't that a shame that the demons know more about Jesus than many Christians do today? Amen. Verse 42, now when it was day, he departed, and he went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities as well, because for this purpose I have been sent." And so he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. Now, the first thing that Jesus did when he got to Peter's house, of course, was to heal this mother-in-law of fever. But when it started getting late, people began to come. You know, the word got around pretty quick. And so people began to come. And they began to bring people who were sick, afflicted, and some demonically possessed. And Jesus healed all of them. I like that about Jesus. He heals everybody. Amen. And I want this church to attain that level that nobody can say that, "Well, I was prayed over today for my sickness, and I left the church, I was still sick." You see, that's a weakness in the church, but it's also in the weakness of the believer. Okay? And so we need to find out what causes this and you know, put a stop to it and begin to learn how to believe Jesus for who he really is. And the word says that Jesus did this from sundown to sunup. That's a lot of people when you stop and think about it. You know, 12 straight hours he's praying over the sick and the lost and the demonic oppressed. During that night, though, sometime Peter left his house. And I pondered that, and I thought, well, boy, if I was there in that house and Jesus was healing the sick, I'd want to stay for the whole thing. Amen. I'd even take a day of vacation if I had to instead of having to go to work. But apparently Peter, at this point in his life, was just not impressed with the things that Jesus was doing. And maybe not being impressed is not the way to put it, but there were some things in Peter's life that were distracting him from honestly seeing what Jesus was really doing. And again, I think we get that way at times. We are so distracted by the things of life, whether it be through work, through relationships, or whatever, we really forget what Jesus can do. We really forget what this church is created to do. Now, I showed you this church a while ago, and nearly everyone in this church stood up because at one point in time they have been healed, delivered, and set free in this church. And so Jesus is at work here. Amen. And so we need to find out what it is that's distracting us and put it to rest so that we can be a part of what Jesus is doing in this church. You see, it's not just me or Daniel or Mike that are anointed here in this church to heal the sick. You all are. That's what Jesus died for. that you can walk in the anointing that you've received from him. Amen? So Peter became distracted, and so he goes to work. Now, he was a fisherman, and I guess you can go get on that boat and go fishing anytime you want to, day or night. But we literally have the same problem today. Many people come, and many people go through this church. And I mean, the bottom line is this. They are just not impressed with what Jesus is doing here. And that's a shame. Not impressed what Jesus is doing. And maybe they have too many questions and not enough answers. I don't know. You know, I don't know where their hearts are. But in fact, some of us allow just the slightest distraction to draw us away from being where Jesus is. And y'all know that's true. I was really concerned this morning when I saw it raining. And here I am thanking God for the rain and at the same time wondering how many people were going to wake up and not come to church because it was raining. You know, we pray for rain. God bring us the rain. We're desperate for rain. And then when it rains, we don't come to church. These distractions are hindering the work of this church. It's hindering this church from impacting the world. And we need to fully understand not only what they are, but how to deal with them. Okay? So, do you believe Jesus is the same today? If he's not, we're in trouble. Do you believe that he's here working in this church? Yeah, he is. Definitely. Then why are we so easily distracted? If we know he's here, if we know he's working here, then why are we distracted? Why do you let all of your questions distract you and lead you away? And I know that we all have questions. Every week I have people ask me questions, about this thing about healing or whatever, And so we all have questions. But what I want us to understand is, in relation to what Jesus was doing there at Peter's house, the world around us is hungry. They are hungry. And if they ever find out what Jesus is doing in this church, then they are going to come and they are going to fill this church because they want to see the people healed. They want to see people delivered and totally set free from any bondage that they may walk in. And this is the world. And so we as the church need to so prepare ourselves to be able to have this encounter with the world. Now back in verse 42 that we just read, it says, And when it was day, Jesus departed and he went into the desert place. And the people looked for him. I mean, here he had healed the sick all night long, cast out demons all night long. And so he's headed out, going to find a little place to rest. And here they come. And they came to him and they stayed with him so that he would not depart from them again. Hallelujah. Then why have we allowed things to get in the way between us and Jesus? You see what I mean? Oh, we came, in fact, many of you came to this church because you heard that Jesus was doing something. But now that we're here, instead of working together and moving out of this church to touch the world around us, we become distracted. You see that? Y'all not looking too happy. But you see, the world will look for him until they find him. And we need to wake up to that fact. The next picture that we see is Peter and his cohorts getting into a boat and they were fishing. And they had fished all night and they had come back in and they landed their boats. And of course, when they came in, they found Jesus there on the shore. And he was still preaching to the world. And so Jesus asked Peter to take him into his boat, move offshore just a little way so that the people wouldn't just run over him. You can imagine how Jesus would feel Every place you went, the crowds were just crowding around you. And so he wanted a little freedom to be able to preach until he was finished. So Jesus asked Peter to take him in his boat out on the shore, and Peter does. Peter had left Jesus to go fishing. And Jesus had preached all night, yet he was still preaching and ministering in the crowds of people. So Peter said, why not? So he takes Jesus out a little ways, and then Jesus continues to preach. Do you think Jesus was dedicated what the Father sent him to do? Amen. 100% dedicated. And so when Jesus stopped preaching, there's something interesting that happened. Let's look at that in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. So when Jesus had stopped speaking, he said to Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, and this word master means teacher, teacher, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let the nets down. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in another boat to come and help them with this huge catch of fish. And they came, and they filled both of the boats until the boats began to sink. Now, it was apparent that Peter had a revelation of who Jesus was. He had one of them suddenly moments about Jesus. And all of a sudden he changes from this man who walked away from Jesus while Jesus was ministering to the sick and the deaf and the lame and all of these things. And now we find him, he's on his knees before Jesus, crying out, depart from me, because I am a sinful man. You see, something different occurred in his life. And so, what was it that Peter saw? Well, let's look and see if we can figure it out. What did Peter actually, what kind of encounter did he have with Jesus that all of a sudden changed him completely, turned him around completely? Well, the first thing is, I believe that that Peter saw a measure of the glory of Jesus. He saw a measure of the glory of Jesus. You see, something changed on his inside when he saw this load of fish. And I can, you know, I tried to think about this. I mean, here those guys have been out fishing all night long, and Jesus tells them to put their nets down, and they obey, and then all of a sudden, they've got fish running out their ears. I've never been on a fishing trip like that. I'd like to. Not until it starts sinking the boat, though. But you see, Jesus will always speak to us in the realm of our understanding. He always knows where we're at, what we're all about, and that's how he speaks to us. Peter understood fish. He understood fishing. And so that's what Jesus chose to speak into Peter's heart with, this load of fish. And then that's when Peter had this revelation of his own sin. Now stop and think about this again. He was back in his home watching Jesus lay hands on the sick, and they were recovering, and demons being cast out, and all of this stuff, and it was not impressive to Jesus. But all of a sudden, now on the boat, when all of these fish are about to sink two boats, Peter has this revelation of how sinful he is. And he is like the same thing that happened to Isaiah and the Apostle John. And all three fell down on their knees when they saw the glory of the Lord and recognized their weakness and their inabilities as sinners. What a revelation. And I think we need a revelation. Every one of us need a revelation of how we have lapsed back into allowing sin to become a daily part of our lives. Second thing, I believe Peter received a revelation of God's love. Of God's love and how God wanted the very best for Peter. You see, Jesus met Peter at the point of a need in Peter's life. And once again, Peter left, a hallelujah prayer service in his house, and he goes out fishing. And even though the word doesn't say it, but I imagine he needed the money. You know, to get out and go fishing in the middle of the night, you're probably in a financial bind or something. But still, he was a fisherman. This was his work. And if he didn't have any fish, then he didn't have any money. So Jesus provided the very best for Peter to show Peter just how much he loved him and how easily he could provide for him. And let me emphasize how easily he could provide for him. You know, we've got this concept too many times. Jesus can't help me. Well, yes, he can. More than you'll ever know, he can help you in any situation that you find yourself in. And the third thing is, I believe that Peter had a revelation of just how much he could trust Jesus. A revelation of how he could trust Jesus. When Jesus asked Peter to move out into the deep waters, you know, Peter said, well, you know, I don't know why, but at your word, I'll do it. And I think he was just being cordial, you know, to just kind of please Jesus. And maybe he's feeling a little guilt about leaving the house that night when Jesus was ministering. I don't know. But you and I can completely trust God if we have all the answers. That's our concept. But let me tell you, that's wrong. That's wrong. There has to be some unanswered questions in our lives. And I believe that that was part of Peter's problem. And it's called unbelief. We call it, well, I don't have all the answers. And, I keep asking God, but God never says anything. Well, no, it's unbelief. God has answered every one of your questions in his word. But you got to get into his word to find the answers. And sometimes God will just speak them right out and you can hear them. But most often, you have to get in the word and find them. You got to dig them out. And so Peter had too many questions about what Jesus had done at the house that night. But now all of a sudden, all of these questions didn't matter anymore. And that should be the same way it is with us. Instead of staying away from Jesus because we have all of these unanswered questions, we need to get close to Jesus to where that these questions don't matter anymore. We've experienced his love and our trusting in him. Because Peter suddenly realized that he could trust Jesus in spite of all of the questions he had. Amen. So, Jesus rebuking the fever of someone beside you doesn't prove his love for you. Got that? Jesus can cast out demons out of somebody else, but that doesn't prove his love for you. I can see your little wheels up here running. You know, I don't think that's all right. But listen to me. Jesus healing other people of sicknesses and diseases around you does not prove his love for you. But filling your boat with fish or making an abundance of provision just for you proves how much he loves you. Amen? And how much you can trust him. And I think that that's kind of what we do. We sit back, Jesus healed Hope. But I've been up here asking for prayer for weeks and I'm not healed. So I guess Jesus doesn't love me. And we get these negative attitudes and responses to things. But let me tell you, just get into the presence of Jesus and just trust him. Because whether Peter understood it or not, he trusted Jesus when Jesus said, let's move out into the deep water. And it's time for you and I to move out into the deeper water. Because I'm telling you, we've been playing alongside the shore and we're not getting nothing done. Even though we've seen an impact of healing in this church and deliverance. But we need to do greater things. That's what Jesus has called us to do. Greater things than what he has done. And we are missing our opportunities. Filling your boat with fish or providing you an abundance of provision proves how much he loves you and how much you can trust him. And I hope you can see that this morning. And my question to you this morning is, do you need your boat filled with fish this morning? See, it's not about your need, it's about your trust. We get our focus on our need. But Jesus wants us to pull off of that and start trusting him. And some of you really need for God to prove to you how much he truly loves you. You need it. In fact, you're desperate for it, but you won't admit it. But this incident with Peter also proves how much we don't trust Jesus. And all of us need to arrive at that place where Peter went. Peter finally understood that without Jesus, he was nothing. And he could do nothing. Got that? Without Jesus, you and I are nothing, and we cannot do anything. But when we learn to trust him, then absolutely nothing is impossible. That's right. Amen. It's the love of Jesus that motivates us. It's the love of Jesus that is our invitation to come to him for relationship. And it's the love of this Jesus that is the power that works through you and I. And that power that should be working through us, you know, when we use the word power, we think all of a sudden, you know, about the Holy Spirit. And yeah, we need that power. But I think one of the greatest measures of power that Jesus demonstrated was his compassion. His compassion. And we need to learn how to let compassion be developed in our heart. We can trust Jesus, but then we need to demonstrate and share that compassion with the people that we are called to minister to. Now, we find that many of us are stuck where Peter was. And like Peter, we've been out working. You know, doing everything else but what we're supposed to do. Lord, I've been out fishing all night, but I haven't caught nothing. Lord, I've been coming to River of Life Church for 10 years, and where are the miracles, Lord? Lord, why didn't you heal so-and-so? They believed. Why didn't you heal them? Lord, why am I poor? Why? Why? We're good at asking why, but we never try to find the answers. And you see, why will never bring you a revelation of Jesus. Never. Trust is what opens the door to Jesus. And Peter instantly understood that he couldn't do anything. And when you and I come to the revelation of knowing that we cannot do anything on our own, then we'll discover that through him, nothing's impossible. We can work with him and see all things. So Peter steps out on the basis of the word that Jesus gave him. And that's all we need to do. We have the word. We know what to do. So just step out with the word. Jesus says that we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So that's what we need to do. Jesus says you can cast out demons. So that's what we need to do. I am tired of hearing people say, well, I've got to get some more knowledge. I've got to spend some more time in Bible study so I can learn how to do all this stuff. No, you don't. You spend time with the Spirit of God in the Word and then go do the stuff. That's all you need. And the enemy is robbing churches all over this world through that mentality that we can't do nothing. In and of ourselves, no, we can't do anything. But with Jesus, we can do anything. Because Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to work with us and through us. He'll even teach us what we need to know when we don't know. So it's up to us to do what Jesus has called us to do. And we just simply need to receive God's love. Even though we know that we don't deserve it, we just receive it. Because God is good at pouring out His love on us. And we need to trust Him. Trust Him. And if you ever make up your mind to do that, then you're going to be a changed person. Totally changed. You're going to join the bunch that Luke described in Luke chapter 5, verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to the shore, they forsook all and followed Him. Amen. When they learned about the love and how to trust Him, they forsook everything and followed Jesus. Now, wouldn't this be a better way to honor Jesus? Especially during this time where we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. I mean, after all, this is why Jesus died. He wanted us to have salvation, but He wanted us to share salvation. And we're quick to grab the salvation, but we don't want to give it out to anybody else. And that's not what Jesus died for. He didn't die for the traditions of men to take over our churches. He didn't die for religion. And He didn't die so that we could walk in fear of rejection. That's not what He died for. He died that all men might become free, just like we learned last week. And the greatest gift that we can give Jesus this Easter morning is to be completely sold out in our heart. Completely. And that's a challenge. Because it means that you're going to have to make a choice and then follow it up. Go with it. And when you do, then you're going to experience firsthand a tremendous outpouring of the love of Jesus because you've stepped into trusting Him. And there's nothing, no greater place that you can be than in that realm of completely trusting Him. So this morning, what is the greatest need in your life? What's the greatest need in your life? Peter needed fish to provide his income for his family. But what is it that you desperately need this morning? Think about it. Jesus wants to prove His love to you just like He did Peter. Jesus gathered enough fish to sink two boats for Peter. So what is it that He can do for you this morning to demonstrate His love in abundantly providing for you? If you'll notice, Peter never asked Jesus, "Well, Jesus, I need more fish." And I don't think that we need to get up front and every one of us recite what we need. No, I don't think that's what Jesus is wanting. But what we need to let Him know, and He already knows, what we need, but we need to let Him know that we're going to trust Him. And that's exactly what Adam was talking about. He didn't have $1,000 to give. But he decided, well, Lord, they said that if I promise to give it, if you'll provide it. And so God showed him. God demonstrated his love to him and provided it. And then he obediently did what he said he would do with it. And so after the miracle of provision, once again, the scripture says that they forsook all and followed Jesus. So what about it? Are you ready to completely trust Jesus in your daily life? Are you willing to completely trust Jesus in providing everything that you need? See, I invite everybody up here that has a need this morning. And probably everybody in this room would be up here. But I can't provide your need. Jesus can. You can't put your trust in me, thinking that I'm going to be able to help you. But Jesus can. And so you need to get with Jesus today. And tell him, Lord, I see like Peter saw. I'm not going to have all these questions anymore. I'm just going to start trusting you. Just trusting you, simple trusting you. And I know that you're going to meet every need that I have. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your word. We praise you for the power of your word. And Father, I praise you that the same resurrection power that drew Jesus up out of that grave is here in this room today. The same Spirit of God that brought him out of that tomb is here right now. And Lord, he's ready to do things that are exceedingly abundantly above that which we could think or ask. And Father, I thank you that we can have that kind of confidence in you, in Jesus, and in your Holy Spirit. So Father, we're going to just trust you this week. Maybe we've never trusted you in realms that we've just had a complete lack of our whole lives. But Lord, we're going to trust you. And we're going to receive your love, Father, for us. And Father, we're going to love you continually in return. And Father, we will not allow distractions to pull us away from you. We will not allow distractions to pull us away from your church. Lord, we're here. And we have every ability in Christ Jesus to minister the kingdom of God. And Lord, we're going to do that. We're going to follow you. We're going to forsake everything and choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.